Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, more questions for Under Fire Minister of State Robert Troy. We'll get the latest in just a moment. Owen McGee has advice on how to switch your mortgage to make sure you get the best deal out there. Planning your own funeral, morbid or just common sense? From coffins to music, we'll hear how to get your last act just right. A viral video shows an American mother teaching her five-year-old boy what to do if someone opens fire in his classroom. So where is the gun control battle at in the United States? And how much sleep is enough? Do you really need 8 hours, or does it all depend on how old you are? Our sleep expert will be here later. So if you've any questions, get them in now. Our text number is 51551. Email today cb@rte.ie, or on Twitter we are at Today with Claire. First this morning, in the wake of controversy surrounding On Board Planola and the admission last week from the Housing Minister Dara O'Brien that public confidence in the body has been damaged after he referred a report into various issues onto the Director of Public Prosecutions, the Gardaí and the Standards in Public Office Commission, Minister of State Niall Collins has said that the planned reforms of the body might not go far enough. Niall Collins is also Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick County and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning.
So your own party colleague, the Minister for Housing, announced a series of reforms. Are you riding roughshod over those efforts, dissing essentially what he's trying to do before he's even managed to do it?
No, absolutely not. I support fully what Minister Dara O'Brien is doing, and I think he's been very proactive in terms of his entire brief and how he's driving that agenda forward. But there's been a fundamental problem with the operation of Bord Pleanála for a long time, and this is completely separate to the current controversy that kind of clouds the organisation at the moment. The issue that I have, and many other public representatives have raised this also over the years, is the fact that On Board Pleanála, when it's adjudicating on an appeal or on a planning application, isn't time-bound to deliver a timely decision on that appeal or on that planning application. And I think that's a fundamental weakness, structural weakness with the organisation. It's certainly hampering a lot of progress and development on the ground, and I think it's unfair to applicants and indeed to people who make appeals also, but primarily to applicants, and I think it's stymieing progress and development, and it's also leading to situations where the costs of projects are becoming unviable because of the inordinate delay. And I'll give you an example of a large-scale infrastructural project which is with On Board Pleanála. It's in my own constituency here in County Limerick, where over 18 months ago On Board Pleanála held an oral hearing into an application for a new strategic road from the city of Limerick to the port of Foynes to encompass a new bypass around the town of Adair. And anybody who's travelled through Limerick and onto Kerry will have experienced huge delays in Adair. And
you're
bypass.
Saying nothing has happened since the oral hearings 18 months ago.
And the target decision date, the self-declared target decision date by On Board Pleanála has been missed on a number of occasions, and as late as last week, the 15th of August passed, and we have no clarity as to when we will get a decision in relation to that.
And you've made that point before on that particular road project that you want to see it progressed faster, but are you cynically capitalising on the current difficulties around On Board Pleanála to make a local point?
No, absolutely not. Look, I mean, if you take the situation you know, you could take this situation in any town or village or in any community across Ireland. For example, a small builder may have an application for a small scheme of houses to provide badly needed houses in communities. If that planning application is appealed to On Board Pleanála, that particular proposal will argue, say, for argument's sake, five or six houses, which would be a huge development in many small villages up and down Ireland, can be long-fingered. You know, for an indefinite period of time, the cost of that project may then become unviable. Building costs go up, circumstances will change.
So you're saying that On Board Pleanála is adding to the housing crisis?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, the net point that I'm making is that as an organisation, you know, if it's handling appeals and it's an independent organisation handling appeals and planning large-scale strategic applications, there should be a time limit set when it has to arrive at a decision. The idea that it can have an open-ended period of time to arrive at an adjudication I think in a modern society just simply isn't good enough.
So now that Dara O'Brien has announced these reforms, which he did last week, you're saying he needs to go further, go the whole hog and change it fundamentally and put time limits on its decisions.
Yeah, well, to be fair to Dara O'Brien, we have discussed this at our parliamentary party meeting on a number of occasions. I'm sure we'll discuss it again in advance of the return, the resumption of the Dáil in mid-September. But I do know that he has started an organisational review which is being led by the Office of the Planning Regulator, which will look at the organisation and the structures. And any changes to Bord Pleanála, however far-reaching, will require legislation, and Dara O'Brien will be bringing an action plan to reform on Bord Pleanála to government in advance of the early in the next term in September, October time. And I'll certainly be communicating to him again my view, and I think others will be also, that the idea that whatever independent appeals body we have, whether it's on Bord Pleanála or whether there's a name change and a repurposed organisation, that it has to have at its core a mechanism by which appeals and applications which are made directly to it.
Would you be in favour of a name change, a different body altogether? Because that means you're calling for on Bord Pleanála as it's currently construed to be scrapped.
Well, look, I mean, the organisation, I think, needs fundamental change. I think we're all agreed on that. There's obviously a series of, parallel investigations and allegations which are being investigated now by the Gardaí and by the DPP and by the Standards and Public Office Commission, and they will have to run their course. But I think everybody accepts that the organisation needs structural change in terms of the resourcing of it also, and Dara O'Brien is committed to doing that. So whether the name change happens or not, it's the effect of the changes, and how they will affect the day-to-day workings of the operation, which are key to me. Many government organisations over time get reformed and get revamped, and that also includes a name change.
Okay,
it's not going to be the game changer for me. The game changer for me will be the additional resourcing of it, which Dara O'Brien is committed to doing. But this, the key point that I'm making here this morning in terms
of time limits,
time limiting appeal.
The danger then, though, is that you sacrifice good planning decisions for fast ones.
Not really, because if you look at in the first instance, Claire, most planning applications go to your local authority, to your relevant local authority. They are, by virtue of the Planning and Development Acts, time-bound and duty-bound to make a decision within a defined period of time. And it works. And if they are required, if the planning authority, a local planning authority, feels that it has to elicit further information from the planning applicant, they can do that. And once the planning applicant has then furnished that further information, again, the planning authority is time-bound within 6 months to make an adjudication on, within 6 weeks to make an adjudication upon that.
Right, so time limits already exist in the local application process. What about this issue that some have raised, that you don't have to be local to an area to object to planning in that area? Is that something you'd like to see changed too?
Yeah, I think certainly it needs to be addressed and it needs to be looked at. We have to get the balance right between, people's rights to make observations in relation to planning applications, the rights as part of public consultation. But at the same time, we have an issue, and we have seen before, where people from one end of the country make planning objections to planning and development objections at entirely remove other at a remove point in location in other parts of the country. So I think we need to get the balance right in relation to that. At the moment, I think it's too wide and it's too open for abuse. And the government of Micheál Martin has recently announced an entire review of the our planning legislation, which has been conducted by the Attorney General's Office, and I think certainly that is something which will be integral as part of that, because we have seen some high-profile examples where that has impacted on communities.
Stay with us, Minister Niall Collins, because your Fianna Fáil colleague Robert Troy is still on the front pages this morning, and I'm joined now by Philip Ryan, political editor with the Irish Independent, and that paper has a story this morning on the landlord aspect of Robert Troy's recent errors, as he called them. Philip, good morning to you. Tell us more about this.
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, this is we haven't really been able to hear from Robert Troy on this controversy for a while, since he's been on your own show. But we do have access to is his statements in the Dáil on various things over the years since he's been elected a TD. And one of the things we learned last Friday was that he does have two contracts with Westmeath County Council under the Rental Accommodation Scheme, which is a scheme where private landlords rent their properties to a local authority, and the local authority then gives them to someone who is in receipt of a rent supplement or social housing on a social housing waiting list. So we first learnt of that this weekend, but then when you look through the Dáil records, this is something that Minister Troy has brought up on a number of occasions. And on two occasions, going back to 2014, he complained about the lack of funding for the scheme. And he says that landlords are simply refusing to sign up because they can make more money in the private sector. And then even in May of this year, he sought details through parliamentary question while serving as a minister of the number of properties under this scheme in Westmeath and Longford, which are over the last 3 years, both Westmeath and Longford County Council, obviously in his constituency as a Longford Westmeath TD. But he won't tell us what he needed that information for, or even if he was actually in receipt of the rental accommodation scheme intervention while he was raising the case in the Dáil that it wasn't funded enough.
Okay, something else emerged as well at the weekend. Details around Minister Troy's rentals not being registered with the Residential Tenancies Board, Philip. Can you explain the timeline on that for us?
Yeah, this is another one from the statement he issued on Friday, which detailed the seven different changes he had to make to the Dáil Register of Members' Interest because he hadn't declared properly various property dealings he had, and he hadn't declared properly some business he was involved in. So the other one that popped up on this is that one of the properties, a rental property he has again in Westmeath, where he's from, wasn't registered, as all landlords are supposed to do, registered with the Residential Tenancy Board. So that came out on Friday. Again, the deputy refused to answer questions. I think it was the Examiner who were asking him about it. And then the Sunday Times did finally seem to get a statement from him, and he said he admitted that it wasn't registered, but he said the responsibility lay with the letting agent who was handling his properties for him, and he got that updated, and he paid a late fee of €90 for getting to do it.
Okay, Philip, stay with us, and Minister Niall Collins is listening to all of that. Do you think Robert Troy has more questions to answer now?
I don't. Look, I mean, Robert Troy, by his own admission, from what I've heard following the issues over the last number of days, is Robert Troy has made an amendment to his standard in public office annual declaration. He's, as Philip has outlined there, he's made a number of amendments to that, which is right and proper. He's not the first TD or member of Dáil Éireann who has had to amend their declarations, and I'm sure he won't be the last. He said himself he made an error in relation to that, and he's apologised for it.
But on the speaking time, you know, and raising issues around a scheme that he himself is using in a personal capacity, I mean, people might look at that and go, was he using Dáil's speaking time to promote a personal advantage to himself?
No, I think that would be a complete overreach, Claire. I think that would be very unfair to Robert Troy to present and try and misrepresent him like that. Robert Troy was a landlord before he entered Dáil Éireann. He is still a landlord. He has declared on his annual declarations that he is a landlord. It's not a secret, and it's not new news to anybody that he is a landlord. And to say that because somebody is a landlord that they can't have a view in relation to national schemes which landlords operate or are party to operating, to say that he can't have a view in relation to that, I don't think is a reasonable argument to offer. You know,
yeah, but he had two contracts with Westmeath County Council under the very scheme that he was asking to be given more funding.
Yeah, but you're reaching and overreaching, in my view, unfairly. You know, you're linking that then to saying, are trying to make the argument that he was trying to basically use Dáil time to improve his own personal situation. I don't think that is the case. You know, you could extend that and make the argument that any member of Dáil Éireann who's in receipt of children's allowance, for example, shouldn't be entitled to speak in relation to children's allowance, or if their
you
parents are in receipt of the old age pension.
You can't compare the two, surely. I mean, they're universal benefits.
This is
a situation where someone has an active business interest.
The point I'm making is this. Robert Troy was a landlord before he entered Dáil Éireann. He has declared on his annual declarations that he is a landlord. It's not it's not new news that he is a landlord. And speaking in relation to issues around state supports for people in the rental sector, I don't think he should be disbarred from having a view in relation to that.
Okay.
And I don't think the fact that he has spoken on it should be construed as that he was trying to personally advantage himself.
Philip Ryan, what do you say to all that?
Well, I think it's quite an extraordinary comparison there. I suppose one of the difference between children and owning properties is children generally cost you money, and if you're a landlord, you're kind of making money for them. So I can't see the comparison there between a business interest and a child. But I think the overarching thing that's shown from this and
he shouldn't be disbarred from having a view and being entitled to make his view.
I know, but you know yourself, children aren't going to make you a lot of money now, are they?
I never made that argument, Philip. I was drawing the parallel that if a member
between
of
the landlord and is, child is, benefit is the comparison.
Is in receipt of any state payment, that they shouldn't be disbarred from having a view in relation to it and expressing that view.
If it's a business interest, I think it's different to having children. That's just my view.
I've also made the point that he had declared himself as a landlord. It was public knowledge.
Oh yeah, but he didn't declare that he was on this scheme, the rental accommodation scheme. We only learned that this Friday, last Friday, just gone. He never told us that he was in receipt of the rental accommodation scheme. And it's very good of you to come on air and speak for him. But I think people at this stage would like Robert to come out himself and address all these comments. Because the Dáil Register of Members' Interest is so these type of things don't occur. So that people know there, that the voters are out there, can see, look, this is the deputy I voted into the Dáil. This is his business interest. And I have that context when he stands up in the Dáil and speaks.
You know, Philip,
we didn't have that context.
Philip, the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste have both expressed support for Robert Troy. I know the Labour Party and others are calling on him to answer further questions when the Dáil returns. But where does this go now?
Yeah, Robert Troy is obviously taking the strategic tactic, communications tactic of bearing his hand in the sand and hoping it all goes away. But unfortunately for him as well, Fianna Fáil decided he's going to be hosting their think-in down in Mullingar. So there's going to be some questions at that for the Taoiseach and possibly Robert Troy as well. Like the statements that he put out, in fairness, there was a lot of detail there, and he put them out and he detailed the various properties and dealings he had, but it also raised more questions. And if he's going to put out the information there, I think he should also be available to answer questions about it.
Okay, and we have, as I said, we've asked him and we continue to ask him to appear on the programme to answer those questions, but he's not available to us as it stands. We'll leave it there for now. Philip Ryan from The Independent and Niall Collins, Minister of State and Fianna Fáil TD. Thank you both. Next up, we're asking, are we facing another recession?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.